What were we all exposed to during the 2017 fires, and specifically, what were firefighters exposed to? On the KSRO live line is Rachel Morello-Frosch. She's the professor in the Department of Environmental Science, Policy and Management and School of Public Health. And Rachel, good to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What did you now, these are just, we should say, preliminary findings in terms of what our firefighters were exposed to. Much more research is needed. What were you looking for, and what did you test for when it comes to local and Bay Area firefighters?
Yeah, so we, after the Tubbs fire started, and the fire lasted between October 8th and the 31st, and then we were able to get out there starting on November 14th, and we got 180 firefighters in total, 149 of whom actually responded to the Tubbs fire. Mm-hmm. From fire departments like San Francisco, Santa Rosa, and Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And so we collected blood and urine samples, and we tested for metals, things like mercury, lead, manganese, cadmium, and antimony. And we also tested for a category of flame retardants known as polybrominated diphenyl ethers, which is very common in a lot of things that we have in our homes, furniture, electronics. And the last category of chemicals that we tested for are called perfluoroalkyl substances, or PFASs. And these are chemicals that are also commonly found in food packaging and consumer products. But we're interested in those for firefighters because those are chemicals that are also found in firefighting gear, the turnouts that firefighters wear, as well as often in foams that firefighters use for fire suppression activities. So and those are the chemicals that we tested for.
So how are you able to distinguish between what was burning that the firefighters were exposed to and their own, you know, their own protective gear, if some of the same chemicals are in it?
That's why these results are preliminary, because we tested blood and urine for these chemicals, and for certain of these chemicals, we did find higher levels among the deployed firefighters compared to the firefighters that were not deployed. But these chemicals, you know, we find them in our bodies, but they don't necessarily leave a calling card to tell us exactly where they came from. So the data are suggestive, and we have more work to do in future studies to make that link more clear to the extent to which those chemicals are really associated with the fire suppression activities or the gear or the burning material from the smoke.
And Professor Morello-Frosch, at what point do you retest these firefighters, or how does the rest of the research go here?
Well, we do not have plans to retest the firefighters because, you know, many of these firefighters are, that's what they do for a living, is they fight fires. So our ability to retest them and then make a connection back to the Tubbs fire is really diminished.
Okay.
But our goal is to be ready next time to hit the ground running, if you will, as soon as the next major wild urban interface fire hits, so that we can actually test firefighters either in the field while they're conducting fire suppression activities or shortly after they return from doing that work. And then also couple that with what we call environmental sampling, where we might be able to have air samplers going at the same time or be testing soil and burn material to, again, help us see if we can make a tighter link between what we're finding in their tissues, like their blood or their urine, and what we're seeing in the environment due to the fire.
Yeah, that's a big, tall order of things to look at, to be sure. And do you hope that in addition to watching the firefighters' safety, that based on this testing, that some changes could be made to their gear, too?
Yeah, so this is a huge challenge for, you know, because we're seeing, California in particular is seeing a big rise in the frequency and intensity of what we call the wildland-urban interface fires, like the kind that we saw in Tubbs and the Camp Fire last year. And these fires, you know, pose really different challenges for, particularly for urban firefighters, because during those fires, firefighters have to be a lot more mobile. They have to move So some of the traditional gear that they use, for example, for structure fires in cities, don't work when you have those wildland-urban interface fires.
Yeah, I think we found that out.
They can't wear the tanks. They can't wear the turnout gear. And so this is a long-term challenge, I think, for the firefighting equipment industry to figure out how can we design equipment that is better suited for the conditions in which firefighters are now finding themselves at these wildland-urban interface fires. And you know, I would argue that firefighters are at the front lines of both climate change, and they're also sentinels for the chemical exposures that they experience when they're responding to these wildfire events. And, you know, you need to figure out, and the industry needs to figure out how to design better equipment to protect them, because they love their jobs. They want to be first responders and get out there. And we need to make sure that we're doing a better job at protecting our first responders.
Absolutely. You're not going to get an argument in Sonoma County, that is for sure, Professor. And, of course, our first concern and our first efforts always ought to be the health of the firefighters themselves. How do those firefighters watch out for their continuing health?
Well, so there has been a lot of effort by the International Association of Firefighters, as well as a growing scientific community that is wanting to do a better job at tracking the health of firefighters over the long term. So, for example, the Centers for Disease Control is launching what they call the National Firefighter Registry, in which they're going to be inviting current and retired firefighters to register on this registry, so that the CDC can better track, for example, cancer trends and incidents and among first responders. And then the union itself, as well as other organizations, for example, the San Francisco Firefighter Cancer Prevention Foundation that helped fund this field work that we did, is trying to do more work with the firefighting community to get them access to health care, a better screening, and then if they do get sick, ensuring that they have appropriate treatment and access to the medical care they need.
And at what point, Professor, might you have more specific information on the effects of those fires on those firefighters that have been tested?
We are, based on the data that we currently have, this was a pilot study, and we're not going to be able to say anything specific to what that fire meant to the health of the firefighters that participated in our study, because it was, it was like a snapshot, one sample, and as we know, cancer is caused by a lot of things, and there's a lot of fires, and we're not going to be able to make a connection specifically to the Tubbs fire, but I think, you know, we want to use the tools of environmental sampling and biomonitoring so that we can do more comprehensive surveillance of firefighters to respond to these events, because we want to get a better handle on the exposures that they experience and where those exposures are coming from, so that we can better inform, you know, strategies to better protect them and improve protocols to reduce their exposures to environmental chemicals from these major events.
Absolutely. We're glad you're doing it. Thank you for helping us educate us about the process, Professor, and thank you for being here with us. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
That is Professor Rachel Morello Frosch, took a big part in the testing of the blood and urine of firefighters, about 150 of them after the Tubbs fire. Hopefully that will come out to their advantage, and also perhaps better outerwear for the firefighters as they continue to do that job for the rest of us. That is Professor Rachel Morello Frosch. She's in the Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Management.